we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an item from The Guardian read by Peter Donaldson.
Two Rottweilers bought as guard dogs to protect an isolated home have been stolen.
And thanks to Ian and Hilary Stewart of Blackpool for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton, and a newcomer to the news quiz, Nigella Lawson. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy.
Andy, why are we being asked to fight in the aisles, to fight at the checkouts, to fight in the freezer cabinet? Never surrender.
As a philosopher famously remarked, you are what you eat. So right now I'm looking at about 300 piles of sewage. No offence, of course. Can be a bad start to the show, calling the audience piles of sewage, but I'm prepared to take that risk. My own feeling about this whole beef health scare crisis is that, yet again, the blame has to be laid fairly and squarely at the door of cows. I blame the cows, because if the cow were a more discerning and intelligent animal and didn't eat anything that's put in front of it, then none of this would happen. I'm particularly surprised at the French cows, because with the English cows you can understand it. It could be that politeness thing, you know. Well, you know, it smells like dead sheep and human crap, you know, but don't make a fuss, just eat it. It'll be embarrassing. But I'm surprised at the French cows that they will eat it, you know.
It is curiously cyclic. The cows eat human excrement, and people eat the cows, which becomes human excrement, which cows eat, and it's all rather appealing, really. If you're a vegetarian.
I've had a look around England and France in my years, and I've noticed between the towns there's quite a lot of grass. And yet nowhere are there cows eating the grass, because they're all indoors eating poo sandwiches and playing video games. Has it never occurred to farmers that they could simply give grass? Maybe I don't understand the ways of the countryside, being a bit of a towny liberal who knows nothing. But could they not let the cows outside and let them eat the grass? It's a mere suggestion. I don't pretend to be any kind of an expert. They could put a bit of salad dressing on it if the cows are unappetizing.
British consumers are being urged by farmers to boycott French beef after it's revealed that their cattle are being fed human sewage. Representatives from the National Farmers Union have described a report by French scientists which claims that British beef is still unsafe as being full of exactly what their farmers have been feeding their cattle. Nigella, welcome to the news quiz. Which lord went a-leaping 66 days too early?
Oh, well, this must be the strangely bearded Lord Burford. Yes, one of Nell Gwynne's family. He is the elder son of the Duke of St. Albans, who sprang up and said that because of if the reforms went through, he would no longer be able to inherit the title and go into the House of Lords. And not, of course, that his objections were personal. They were purely patriotic. And he urged everyone to fight these terrible reforms, which would mean that people like him couldn't go and legislate for the benefit of us lot. But unfortunately, his rhetoric wasn't persuasive enough.
He wasn't, no.
He woke some of them up, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, although he is partly descended from Nell Gwynne, I don't know which part, of her or indeed of him, but he claims also to be descended from Shakespeare, but not that Shakespeare. He claims to be descended from De Vere, who actually wrote Shakespeare's plays, according to this lunatic, which is really quite extraordinary.
This is how he met his wife, seemingly, because he was doing a talk on this in America, saying about...
That's right.
And it's saying a descendant of De Vere. And this woman thought, well, that's interesting. There was a De Vere in my ancestry. So she went along to meet this lord. It turned out they were cousins, so of course they married. Because disorder among hereditary peers is not uncommon, because the place is full of hereditary disorders, let us not forget.
But I read he was attracted to her wrists, that's what he said. Which is...
just lazy, isn't
it? That.
Not prepared to do any of the
not
work.
Not attracted to his own anymore, then.
Nigella's right about the beard, though, that strange beard.
No, you can tell he's strange once you see that beard, can't you, Andy?
Yeah. No, it's a particular kind of beard, Nigella. It's not... What I was going to... Yes. Beards per se don't indicate any kind of psychological instability. I think that's been proven by a scientific survey out this week.
It's a red beard, that's certainly...
That's what's worrying about it. It looks like a false beard.
I could tell in black and white that it was a red beard.
Yeah. I think the reason aristocrats grow them is they can get a grant for them. as a nature reserve for pine martens and stuff like that. It's only a beard you only see on somebody with a huge mansion and three surnames.
One peer who won't be standing for election to the Reformed House is Lord Lucan, who was officially declared dead this week. For years it was uncertain whether Lucky Lucan was still alive, a situation which still applied to most of those voting on Wednesday night. So, 2 points to Nigello. Jeremy, how is Gordon Brown hoping to stop poor people from falling through the net?
Oh, Gordon Brown is worried that poor people, having no money, spend all day staring at a TV screen, so he wants them all to have computer screens to stare at. Nowadays, so many people are working from home, he thought it'd be good if people were unemployed from home.
We've now discovered that the poor don't have telephones. This has suddenly occurred to Gordon Brown. They can't actually get on the net. No. They can just have this set and open the window and shout Tesco's and say, would you send me around 6 poor people's eggs? Very much in touch, that government.
Yes, Gordon Brown launched an initiative to make computers available for people on low incomes. He's promised to make available 100,000 additional PCs, which is already 95,000 more than Jack Straw even imagined. Oh, Alan, geez. Listen to this. Alan, whose shortlisting created somewhat predictable outrage.
This is that awful headline I don't want to repeat, but this is safe seat within reach of Portillo, isn't it? as the Daily Mail chose to put it. So I think it's the village of Kensington and Chelsea, where Michael Portillo has gone through this extraordinarily rigorous selection procedure, which says if your name is Michael Portillo, you can come be our MP. But it's got a couple of days to go through. I think by the time this is repeated, he will be the Conservative candidate.
Was that YMCA? No, it wasn't, was it?
In the Navy.
In A. Yeah. Golden memories, HM. I was just saying, quite a few, well, I found myself doing a bit, and I looked out and a few of the audience doing a bit of this. It's amazing the hole that the village people have over the consciousness of men of my age with beards. Rather butch beards.
I was in Broadstairs for no very good reason a couple of days ago. I was listening to somebody in the bar who was a member of the local Conservative Association who started going on about the fact that they were about to have a Spaniard as the MP for Kensington and Chelsea. I thought, my God, they are still so bitter about the Armada. They haven't even they haven't even progressed to homophobia yet.
Known by his enemies in Kensington and Chelsea as Il Portillo, isn't he? Or Don Portillo.
Why is he called Il Portillo?
I don't know.
What does that... the eel refer? I went to Ann Summers the other day. They've got electric eels there.
Nigella, who found little shelter while weathering a storm of complaints from disgruntled holidaymakers.
This is about the passports, the passport office and Jack Straw and all that, and they spent something like £20,000, or maybe more, I don't know, but a lot of money buying umbrellas to shelter people from the rain when they had to queue because of that blunder. Mm. So now they're trying to look on the bright side and saying, well, actually, it does mean if it ever rains again when people are queuing up, we can offer them the provision of an umbrella.
Yes, let's not go to Bermuda, darling. Let's spend 2 weeks under an umbrella upside the bathroom. Good PR, isn't it?
And aren't there talks about whether we're all going to be charged for these umbrellas now? So if we apply for a passport, we might have to pay £8 extra, which pays for a third of an umbrella.
Hmm. They were golfing umbrellas, weren't they? They weren't little ones that you can pop into your mouth or anything. They were they're great big building society type, expensive ones. They should give them to people queuing to get visas to come to England, really, shouldn't they? If you think.
Or for when they fly over here,
yeah.
I think.
really. It's just a comment of the fact that we live in an appallingly wet country. Those people are staring at
you
me.
You wouldn't.
Looks of blind hatred in their faces. Reaching for their goat masks under their seats.
The passport agency also says the decision to begin issuing pet passports has also slowed down, as it had to deal with 5,000 applications from someone called Mohammed Al Fido. 2 points for Nigella. Jeremy, listen to this. The late, great Edith Piaf. Jeremy, whose decision to wrap himself in the flag has sent him flying up the poles?
Alan's writing something down for me. And it says, hey.
Do you know, I don't even know how to spell it. Yes, I just thought, I really don't know
how to
spell it.
It's a whiskey. You've done the whiskey.
I know, it's my first thought. Yes,
you spelled it. Bells you've written there. No, Haig's wrapped himself in the flag, has he?
Mm-hmm.
What, nothing else? This is some sort of blanket protest he's on. And he smeared French beef up the wall.
What? No, it's the first poll he's actually won. I mean, asked who was the most patriotic party leader, rather than have Charles Kennedy, who's a Scot, or Tony Blair, who's a Scot, the English said Haig.
Oh, right.
He was the most patriotic of them all.
He's the most patriotic. Well, that's the answer, then. He's won something for the first time in his life. Little Willie Haig, the factory owner's son from up north, has won a prize for being the most crazed nationalist in British politics. And that's the answer, is it?
More or less, yes.
Right. What does he get for this prize? Does he get a load of homemade chutney or pork pies or what?
Who awarded him this great...
It's not a prize. You just ahead in the polls.
I wasn't asked.
I wouldn't know, was I?
So hardly a representative cross-section, was it? More of a jury.
Well, ask the audience. Hands up if you were asked whether you thought William Haig was patriotic this week. Hands up. Nobody. You're right, Jim. Look.
And hands
it's
up.
It's a con.
Hands
a
up those of you who can be asked whether he is or not.
According to a Murray poll for The Times this week, William Haig is seen as the most patriotic party leader. Mr. Haig has said that his heart and his head are in Britain, though sadly his hair is in a Parisian armchair. Tory leader's British roots are not in doubt. He was born in Yorkshire, his wife is from Cardiff, and Margaret Thatcher has got him by the Trossachs. 2 points to Jeremy. Alan, who's being advised to lie back and think of Viagra?
Oh, gosh. You do give me... I have Portillo, and now I have female sexuality.
Do you?
It's turned out... Well, I might have. Because it turns out all our genitalia are the same, in that at moments of...
I don't think so.
No, really. At moments of passion, watching Bambi or something, they fill with blood. And those who manufacture Viagra and haven't earned nearly enough money by putting it to poor jerks who can't, in fact, poorly jerk, they've said we can give it to women. Women will respond to Viagra as well. And there'll become a sort of potency gap, because all the women who feel they're not sexually charged enough take Viagra. They're going to come up against, often quite literally, men who haven't taken it. So the men will then have to take it to satisfy these women. And whereupon the women want more and the men will want more. And the entire world and the entire National Health Service will do nothing but spend all its money on these little blue pills. If they are blue, I wouldn't know. I've heard. A friend of my wife tells me they're blue. She wouldn't know.
She's a close friend of your wife.
Come.
Earlier this year, this is true, an Israeli chemist claimed to have discovered that giving Viagra to cut flowers kept their stems fresh and firm in the vase for up to twice as long as normal, i.e. 4 minutes. So,
of course, Israelis do cut flowers rather differently from other people.
Scores at the end of round two are, everybody, 8 points. And we start round three with an extract from the directions for the Marine Drive Walk in Llandudno.
Just past the toll gate, we meet the first of many curiosities on the Marine Drive, the cattle grid. This has recently been built at a cost of £17,000, even though there are no cattle on the grid. The goats jump over it, and the sheep walk along the wall.
Thanks to Elaine Bates of North Wales for that. Andy, how are British businessmen out of touch at the office?
Ah, well, this is some person in Australia, some business whiz kid, who says that the key to a happy office is if the boss goes around lightly touching all the employees on the elbow. Can you imagine anything more unsettling? Everyone's going, why is he touching me on the elbow? What have I done? Oh, my God, I must be for the chop. But apparently British people touch each other less in the office.
British men.
Is that right?
Apparently women and gay men are very tactile, which must be why women and gay men seem to be running so many offices. So I would have thought it's actually more successful to be rather less tactile rather than more. But everyone likes you if you're tactile, apparently.
Apparently.
So if I go like that all the time...
I don't feel threatened.
No.
I just look frightened. What were the statistics on men with beards?
That's truly alarming.
Truly alarming.
They're advised not to.
That's been my experience. Yes. So that's it, then. Just keep your distance, Simon.
Sorry, I don't think this is a very good idea because British employers are somewhat notorious and they will simply go around to their secretaries purporting to touch their elbows and say, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you had your arms folded.
Jeremy, which SAD story made for gloomy reading north of the border?
So, SAD is that thing you get miserable when you've got no sunshine? Which is why Yorkshire people have an excuse for being gloomy, miserable, curmudgeonly, unsociable gits. Says here, Alan's given me a piece of paper saying Aberdeen. Aberdeen is very wet and cloudy, therefore I presume they're all miserable.
Saddest place in Aberdeen.
I've had a good... There's a good club there, and next to it there's a good kebab stall that does a very good chicken kebab at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've got no complaints about it at all. I think it's a fine town, Aberdeen. I don't hold with this. I don't think you'd go miserable when it's cold and rainy, because you just stay in and watch the telly. You don't know. That's all right, isn't it? It's a good excuse not to have to go anywhere. Because if it's sunny, you think, oh, we ought to go for a walk, really. But when it's raining, oh, good, we'll watch telly. I think that's nonsense, all that.
Are they doing anything to counteract it? Are they putting lights up in the street?
No, it wouldn't help putting lights up. You'd just see Aberdeen.
There are going to be so many letters. Who's answering all these letters written? Because they're big letter writers, because they spend so much time indoors in the dark.
What's it stand for, then? Sunlight something deficiency?
Seasonal affective disorder.
We're having a question about lollipop aggression disorder.
No, but you can answer it if you'd like.
No, it's just that... Well,
I'll give you an extra point. I'll do anything
will you?
To break the deadlock.
Oh, well. Well, this lollipop rage. There's all these lollipop ladies are being shouted at by people. And there's a consultant who specialises in something called lollipop aggression disorder, which is what people suffer from, who get threatened by people passing motors who tell them what to do with their lollipops, or indeed, in some cases, perhaps do it. And then they are perched atop their lollipops beside the zebra crossing with all the children on one side saying we have to go to school today, because the lollipop lady's up there with a lollipop upper. But it is a genuine thing. It's lollipop aggression disorder.
But we
think
there'd
be a lot of it about, but there is. God knows.
This has turned into Call My Bluff. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a moment.
You know who
Do we
it's
believe
true.
That story?
True.
Our lollipop lady, Joyce, gets a lot of that.
You know your lollipop lady's name? Well,
of course I do. I've got children. See, yours probably, yours being 30, probably doesn't need a lollipop lady.
Is she a live-in lollipop lady? Or is she...
Alan, you know who it is abusing them? It's all the middle-class parents driving their children to school. That's who it is. Get out of the way!
It's actually a question about Aberdeen, but I'm glad
you... You started it, Alan.
Can you imagine being a lollipop lady in Aberdeen? That must be the worst thing in the world.
And the scores at the end of round three are, thanks to my novel scoring system, Andy and Nigel at 12 points, but Alan and Jeremy just in the lead with 13. And before we start the final round, here's a notice seen in the Aldbourne post office.
The fish man is back after surgery. He now has crabs and other delicacies.
Thanks to Christine Weir of Aldbourne for that. Andy, here's your piece of music.
Why don't you give me a call? Ring, ring, why don't you give me a call?
by ABBA. Andy, why will dogs soon be no more than a call away?
Dogs no more than a call away.
Do you know this?
Nigella's going to tell me what this is.
Actually, can I just say it rather than
write
it?
Yeah, no, that'd be a lot easier and a lot quicker.
Dogs are going to have their own mobile phones.
Yes?
Because I think some Japanese are worried that the market is so saturated now that unless they come up with a new body of persons, well, I don't know if a dog counts as a person, anyway, to have a mobile phone that they'll go out of business.
Right.
And so they want to do the special device that the dog will wear and that you'll say, don't worry, Fido, I'll be home a bit late tonight and it'll, back. And yeah, it's true.
So you ring the dog?
Well, you ring the dog.
Yeah.
We're not have you got a dog?
I haven't. No.
Oh, well,
and I'm not getting
then.
One just to satisfy the phone company. So,
have you got a cat?
No, so that means dogs on the tube are going to start getting them out. The dog won't know where its mobile is. There'll be that shrilling and then it'll get out. South Kensington.
And then they're going to have to wear special earpieces so they can walk along in the pop. When they're in the pop, they can go, talking on as they looking at one of those people.
And all the other dogs.
Barking. You'll think they're barking themselves.
And the other dogs will get confused because they'll think that, oh, that's a dog that's been returned into the community.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's got one of those attachments.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Nightmare scenario, that. It's bad enough having subnormal people on the tube doing it without dogs doing it. I think that's
we'll
really
be bad. Getting dirty phone calls from dogs, won't we?
I know what you're wearing now. You've got a nice shin there. Oh, I like your pillows. Oh, lovely.
Japanese engineers are working on a scheme to keep dogs in touch with their owners via mobile phones. Anxious owners can find out where their missing pets are by calling them up. The device has been welcomed. Japanese businessmen say it will keep owners in constant touch with their dogs, but it's been greeted with fury by the Korean chef community. Nigella, your real question, who's offering the dream of children who will grow up to be model citizens?
I don't know his surname, but he's called Ron.
He is.
And he's got this man has got a website called Ron's Angels, and he's got various models, pictures of various models, and men or couples can buy eggs from these models. And he says, very poetically...
I just saw this.
You saw
the polystyrene box of six. Yeah, okay.
But Ron says, very poetically, that many people want to impart beauty to their offspring.
What kind of parent is concerned? I mean, most people, you say, oh, you want a boy or a girl? And they say, oh, I don't mind. So long as it's a healthy, happy child, I don't mind. And these parents saying, oh, I don't mind. So long as it's a 6-foot chain smoker with an eating disorder, I really don't mind.
Photographer Ron Harris has set up an American website auctioning models' eggs for sale to infertile couples. Some fertility experts warn that the supermodels' eggs mightn't be all they're cracked up to be, as they won't get out of the fallopian tubes for anything less than 10,000 sperm a day.
Actually, he is planning to sell male model sperm next, which is an even more terrifying thought.
How do you choose between sperms, though? I mean, they're tiny wee things, aren't they? You say, oh, that one's got a nice tail.
I don't think I'd want a male model sperm in the more traditional way either.
No, I'd agree.
It went very quiet then.
That rules all of us out then, doesn't it?
Yeah. I gave that up years ago. It was like,
the modelling?
Yeah, it's the lifestyle. I didn't like it.
Alan, why during the war were so many owed so much by so few exploding rodents?
It's the British. It's a group called Section 9 that wanted to bring Germany to its knees, a perfectly creditable cause, but by posting exploding rats. I mean, they found dead rats, and they said, oh, there's two ways with this. We either give them to French cows, or we put hand grenades inside them, we post them to Germany. And all over Germany, little boxes arrived with a British stamp on, and Germans would open it, there'd be a dead rat inside. And they say, this is a bit strange, and it would blow up, but it would in theory. They also sent them, they dropped incendiary soap. This wasn't soap that burned on the way down, like incendiary bombs. It was soap. It looked like Lifebuoy. So she's dead boy. And and when the Germans, if they ever did, washed, this soap would explode and blow their faces off. And they also sent a bottle of Chianti with a stick of dynamite in it. I mean, the whole thing is like Roadrunner. You know, this is a war we're fighting against these bastards. And all we've got is exploding rats. But anyway, they sent a bottle of Chianti to a German general in the hope that he would pull the cork and it would blow him to pieces.
I don't know, he only really stuck the candle in it afterwards.
Oh, that's it.
What I didn't understand, though, was that the idea of the rats was that you got a rat, killed it, cut it open, put the explosives inside it, sewed it up again, and then left it in a coal bunker in Germany. Now, don't you need a secret agent to get the rat? In which case, the idea was you left it in the coal bunker, the German thought, oh, there's a dead rat, and threw it in the bunker. And it blew up. If you've got a secret agent who can get to the coal banker, why the bloody hell doesn't he just blow it up himself?
And anyway, he's got to carry it. It's like a Monty Python. I mean, here's his agent walking through the street, and he's stopped by the Gestapo. He's got a rat in his pocket. And they say, what have you got? He says, it's my pet rat. He says, it's dead. No, it's not dead. It's just rat. It's just resting. And then it goes off. Exploding umbrellas would have been rather imaginative of the passport.
They had exploded.
Stand outside, your passport will be ready any minute. Bang!
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Andy and Nigella are a very, very creditable 16, but Alan and Jeremy, this week's winners, with 17 points. And we leave you with a letter spotted by Roger Hill in the Gloucestershire Echo.
Madam, I wholeheartedly endorse the views of Ian David Burrell on the financial state of the farming industry and his response to the letter from Mrs. Angela Gabbett. Mrs. Gabbett has great difficulty in grasping fundamental economic principles. I base this statement on my many years' experience as an accountant and on the fact that I am married to her.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Carr and Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Nigella Lawson. The chairman was Simon Hoggart. The news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson, George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.
That edition of the news quiz was from October 1999.